Do you wonder where your food comes from? More and more people do. America's corn farmers work hard every day to grow a crop that you can be proud to serve your family. And they're doing it with an eye toward sustainability, caring for water, air, soil, and resources that fuel healthy families and more sustainable products. Take a look to find out how farmers in rural America work to make life better for all of us, from cities to their rural communities. Learn more at ncga.com. NCGA, a commitment to the future.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode, a special episode. I think they're all special, of All Steelers Talk. I'm your host, Noah Strathcon, joined always by Donnie Droon. And make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at All Steelers. And as always, follow your favorite podcast host, Noah Strack, Donnie Droon. Donnie, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a new cornerback. They traded with the Seattle Seahawks for Akilo Witherspoon, a 26-year-old former third-round pick out of Colorado. He went to Colorado, I believe, correct? No?
Akilo.
Akilo?
Akilo.
Akilo, Akilo. It's either Witherspoon. We're just going to stick with Witherspoon. It's easier to say. But the Pittsburgh Steelers have a new cornerback, and it's exciting. It's big news. They traded a fifth-round pick in 2023 for him with the Seattle Seahawks, but the dude has only played preseason games with the Seattle Seahawks. Where he spent the last 4 years is the San Francisco 49ers. And to kind of break down who this guy is and who the new Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback is, we're going to bring in Jose Sanchez, our colleague. Great to call him a colleague over at All 49ers. He is the deputy editor. Let's join Jose. Jose, what's going on, my dude? Oh,
wrong. No. No, we just practiced it, man. It's Akilo.
I know.
Akilo. If there's anything, one thing I can provide from today's stream / podcast is we're going to get his name right. All right. As long as I do that, I can say it was a successful show. All right.
So Akilo. No, just kidding. It's Akilo.
Okay. All right. Remember how they do it in elementary school? How you clap out the syllables and stuff like that? We're going to do that. All right. It's going to be
I don't even think that would help me because Akilo, Akilo is the same thing.
All right. We're going to write it out. We're going to put the little dash and everything. All right. I let you do – I'll probably tell you to make Siri do it, but Siri probably is terrible at pronouncing names, so it's not going to work.
Either way, it'll take me a couple of weeks, but we'll get it down. I don't think I'd get any names right. Who's the dude that got drafted by the Browns? That Donnie could ravel.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
That guy. Never. Exactly. See, I don't even try.
Wait, Owusu, didn't they make it close or something? Like, just close his name to, like, a few letters? Like, Owusu?
J-O-K is the
– Jock.
Yeah. Jock. That's what I'm saying. Jock. Way easier. I don't understand. We need to do that. Witherspoon is so much easier than Akello.
We call them Spoon down here. We call them back here. We call them Spoon. Hey, Spoon needs to do this. Spoon needs to do that. You know, so keep things short.
Spoon's a
spoon, yeah.
All right, so we officially refer to Akilo Witherspoon as Spoon from here on out, Steelers Nation. You heard it here first. While he didn't spend any time in Seattle, really, just the preseason, he signed back in March, I'm pretty sure, on a one-year deal. He did spend the last 4 years as an off-and-on starter for the 49ers. I mean, first off, tell everybody, who did the Steelers just get?
They got a guy who, in his time with the San Francisco 49ers, had a bunch of highs and lows, and I'd probably skew towards low. He was a guy who I actually was fascinated by in 2019, first time covering the 49ers, because his first three games, and until he got injured to your guys' team, the Steelers that you're covering, he was playing balls out. I think he was a top 10 corner, no doubt, maybe with some top five moments, until his injury, you know, really took him out of the game for about, say, what was it, like 6 weeks or so. And then once he came back, you know, he did decent in his first game back. But I think ever since he played, when he played the Falcons in like week 13, week 14 or something like that in 2019, he got eaten up by Julio Jones. But who doesn't get eaten up by Julio Jones? And ever since then, the guy kind of fell out of favor, more so because of Kyle Shanahan, in a sense, is a hard ass. You can look at how he with Dante Pettis, how both of them have come out and said, hey, he was tough on me. One person persevered. Akilo, in the end, he kind of did, and towards the end of last year, especially. The other person didn't, Dante Pettis. He's not out of the league. So Akilo is a guy who I mentioned as he's kind of a little bit fragile minded a little bit, where he's going to let one bad play really eat him up. And I could see the confidence issue where even in a playoff game against the Vikings in 2019, he's playing Stephon Diggs pretty well. He just doesn't play the ball. He's lacking like that assertiveness. And when you're a cornerback, you have to be cocky. You have to think, hey, this is my stuff. This is my area. It doesn't matter if it's zone or man. You have to be confident in what you're doing. And he has all the skills in the world to still be a solid corner, a starting caliber corner. It's just you let some plays eat up. I didn't really pay attention to him in Seattle camp or in preseason, but the fact that he needed to get all the way up into the third quarter of the last preseason game tells me something probably beat him up, because if there's one thing the Seahawks know, they know how to scout corners. So they saw the talent in Witherspoon. So the fact that, you know, that they got rid of him kind of says that, you know what, we can't really deal with this guy. He's too much of a high-low guy, so he's too much of a gamble. Let's just ship him away, and I guess the Steelers, in their sense, worked out for them.
So the Steelers essentially got a gamble. That's exactly what everybody listening is.
If you're getting the end of 2020, 49ers Akilo, who shut down, but he played well. DK Metcalf and even some of the Cardinals receiver, not Hopkins, that was Jason Verrett, but towards the end of 2020, like the last quarter of the year, he was playing lights out. So if you can get that version of him where he's like sure of himself, he's cocky, it kind of depends on who really the coordinator is to really get him up to speed and kind of help him with the scheme.
So Keith Butler, as every Steelers fan knows, every Steelers media member knows, is the best defensive coordinator out there probably. That was a joke. Let's Yikes. Talk about those injuries. Does that play a role into this confidence, you think? I mean, I feel like every year I've read something about how he went down with an injury, missed some time.
Yeah, he's a little bit semi-injury prone. I wouldn't say like you can't roll him out here and, oh, it's guy, here goes injury again. I mean, then again, who can you say that about on the 49ers? They're probably the most injury prone team in the league. With Spoon, though, I think, yeah, it definitely has to play a factor in it. I wouldn't say I'd give credit to it majority, but it definitely played a factor. Maybe like 30, 70, 60, 40, 40 in the sense that the injury kind of, because it takes you off that momentum, takes you off that high you're on of playing well or just doing something right. And especially for this guy, one, two plays is all he needs to really get hurt. It's like mentally. As the more I'm talking, I think of the week 17 game in 2019 where the 49ers needed to clinch the division in Seattle, and Spoon's playing his coverage well. Again, he just doesn't play DK. He just doesn't play up on DK Metcalf. He's playing off an extra 3-4 yards for no reason, just because he's afraid to get beat. Those are my lasting memories of him, even though he played very strongly in the last 4 to 5 games in 2020. If you can get that guy, great. Where I think I would pivot from is, why did the Seahawks trade him in the first place? A team who I regard as probably the best team that knows how to scout corners. So if you can get a healthy guy, cool, that's a bonus. But what kind are you going to get? Are you going to get a guy who's going to be able to play zone or man? Because he can play both. I personally think he plays better as a man coverage guy, but he's capable of playing zone. I just think sometimes, especially for someone who's lacking confidence, the zone, he's going to be thinking too much in his case.
So let me ask this question when it comes to, because I'm really intrigued by this confidence thing. The Steelers will likely put him behind James Pierre as the number two. Do you think that's a good fit? I mean, he started 33 games in San Francisco when he was the starter. Is he more consistent, or coming off the bench, you think that's a bad move?
I think it could work out off the bench. It wouldn't be bad for you if he's your number two or number three, especially at number three. I think you're probably safer that way. I've seen him come off the bench in the Miami game when the 49ers got decimated in week 5, and he was playing a little hobbled, and he actually came on and played like an anchor. So I don't think it's in terms of, hey, if you sit him and put him in the middle of the game, it's going to be bad, because I've seen it happen both ways. If anything, I've probably seen it better when he comes into the game when he doesn't start. But then again, there's not too many sample sizes of that case. So I don't think it's really one or the other. It's just, you know, are you going to put him in the best position to succeed? Are you going to try to eliminate gray area? Because that's something Robert Saleh always preached on every year when he was a defensive coordinator of the 49ers. It's eliminating that gray area. That way the players can just make a decision and go after it. And that's something even Akello has cited himself of why he really loved playing under Saleh. So the way you guys are touting the Steelers defensive coordinator, I don't know too much about him, but it's sounding like that little gray, it's going to have to depend upon more about who's around in the Steelers talent-wise, like that front seven.
Well, the Steelers front seven is pretty hard to beat, so that's a good sign for Witherspoon. This is the big question a lot of guys are asking. The Steelers still kind of need that backup nickel, but Witherspoon, or Spoon as we're referring to him, Doesn't have much experience there. Am I correct?
He does not. I don't think you really want to put him. I don't think you want to put him in the nickel. Did he play in the nickel training camp last year? Because I remember last year in training camp, 49ers were already getting hit by injuries even before the season started, and they were kind of trotting out like a good handful of players there. He might have seen some snaps, but if they did, it was just no more than a glimpse. There's no way you can roll him there. I don't think you really want his very light, thin frame in between the boxes, because is he going to defend against the run? When he's out there outside and he's playing outside runners, he's not afraid to make tackle, and he can do it. He's actually pretty fine tackler, to be honest, at times. But it's just I'm just not confident. I wouldn't stick him anywhere near that line of scrimmage, because you already know if you're in a nickel corner, get ready to play that run.
True. Donnie, you got anything?
Nah, not at all. It feels like we got a really good rundown from Jose. As always, phenomenal 49ers coverage over there with him and Green. Yeah,
What's his name, Noah?
What's up?
What's his name?
Yeah, I almost said it's a cow. It's Spoon. There you go. We're calling him Spoon from here on out.
We're gonna clip that. It's gonna be depending on how long he lasts. We're gonna keep clipping that. If he gets a pick, it's a Kello.
No doubt. He doesn't even have the full name anymore. Well, I'm just going Spoon. You'll never see me tweet a Kello a day in my life. I'll probably start using stories.
Smart man.
That's what I'm saying. It's all about, you know, surviving our survival of the fittest. Adapt. Always adapt.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you so much, Jose. Everybody can check out everything Jose and all of All 49ers do at all49ers.com, or follow him on Twitter. His Twitter handle's right there, JSanchezSI. Jose, thank you very much.
Appreciate y'all, fellas, having me on, man. Y'all run a good one. Have a better day. I have a good day, but you guys have a better one. How about that?
You too, my brother. Take care.
Oh, man.
All right, my guys.
All righty. So the Steelers have a low confidence, fragile, shouldn't start cornerback. That's what I got out of that one.
Yeah. After listening to Jose talk for about 10 minutes, not exactly a vote of confidence for Spoon. But it sounds like Spoon thrives in scenarios where he's not expected to be the number one guy. It sounds like he can hang with a handful of number one receivers throughout the league. And if anything, I feel like he might thrive in a position best where he's competing for that cornerback two option outside of Joe Hayden. And it sounds like that's what it's going to be. You know, I don't think the trade for Akello is a opposite vote of confidence against James Pierre, but you certainly will welcome all competition at this point in the season. And I mean, a 2023 fifth round pick, I mean, a year from now, people won't even remember the Steelers gave up that pick for him.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no, from what I'm hearing in reports, there's no compensation pick, so they don't have to worry about losing a pick, which is pretty good. Again, I think that I agree. I think that he's the third guy behind James Pierre, which is good. It adds a little, you know, nudge to Pierre saying, hey, look, this is not your job to just walk away with. You have to earn this every single day, which is good. And then Justin Lane, as we just got comments about, Justin Lane is the guy that's in trouble now. And I think the Steelers want to keep five guys. I don't think they want six, but that fifth guy could easily be Arthur Millett over Justin Lane. Am I wrong?
No, I do think didn't Millett just get picked up though today?
By the Steelers. Yeah. Antoine Brooks got
That's right. That's same player, bro. Same player. The same guy.
That's like Akello and Akello. They're the same guy. We just don't know. Spoon.
Yeah, except I would not scream Akello's name in downtown Pittsburgh.
Very true. Very true.
But no, just moving forward with Spooner, I mean, do you have any general expectations for him coming in? Because as a guy who got traded for a 2023 fifth round pick, the guy who we just learned from Jose isn't exactly the brightest crayon in the room whenever it comes to confidence, but he can be. And, you know, the highs and lows, obviously, I feel like we see with every corner. You know, every corner isn't going to win every single rep, you know, knowing the man. Nobody's Deion Sanders pretty much. But, I mean, for a Steelers cornerback room who just needs talent, you know, I feel like this is almost just like a throw at a dartboard to where, you know, if Akello works out, then great. You know, you got a serviceable cornerback for a fairly low draft pick. But if he doesn't work out, then you're down to you're a fifth round pick in 2023. Kevin Colbert probably won't even be here in 2023. So, you know, what's
very true.
What's I that new
at this point? Kevin Colbert could live forever and GM forever, and yep. he's still making moves. I don't think the compensation and what they got for him necessarily plays a role in what his role will be. I think that they brought him in here with an understanding that he might be a starting cornerback, but he might not be. I mean, you got to think that when he arrived in Seattle, he was the guy. He was the number one cornerback, and they've just kind of slowly moved on from that. But from what I've heard, it's more they want to test other guys out than the one-year deal kind of guy, and that's just their better situation where they didn't want to pay the whole $4 million to this dude, which, again, you know, I understand that. It's a business. The Steelers know that they need that depth. Definitely better than Justin Lane, probably. Still probably need Arthur Millett. I think that he has an opportunity to play a pretty decent role, but my expectations would be that he comes in here and he plays, I don't know, 25 snaps a game at cornerback. He plays a hefty amount of special teams because he's a pretty good special teamer, and he just kind of replaces Justin Lane, which is totally fine. I think that improves the Steelers' defense. That's kind of what they were looking for. It goes to this whole, like, go get C.J. Henderson, go get this guy, go get that guy. The Steelers want to give James Pierre a shot, and they should give James Pierre a shot. I think he's earned it. They like James Pierre. So why not go into the season with a backup plan that's maybe hit or miss, but it's still a pretty good backup plan, right?
Right, and you can never have too much insurance, especially at a position like a cornerback, especially in a quarterback room like the Steelers, where, let's face it, outside of Joe Hayden, who, you know, looks like he's going to be testing free agency after this year, there's not a whole lot to be excited about in the Steelers secondary outside of Minka, and that's not a very good thing at all. So, you know, it's just trying to find guys who are serviceable for the moment. Do we expect Witherspoon to come out here and be an all-pro? No, not at all. But something I wanted to point out to you, though, we've been talking about Cam Sutton playing in the inside as opposed to playing in the outside the last couple episodes of All Steelers Talk. Do you think this move kind of positions Cam Sutton to exclusively play majority of the snaps in the slot cornerback role now?
Yeah, I do. I think that the Steelers saw Arthur Millett and they know that he's just a backup. He's just a depth piece. And that's fine because I think he could be a pretty good, like, second slot guy when they need a nickel and a slot on the field. But they don't want Cam on the outside all the time. They don't want Cam Sutton moving around. They want him to be the new Mike Hilton, and that's totally fine. He can make a strong living in Pittsburgh being Mike Hilton. And then test James Pierre. Now you have Witherspoon. I mean, the Steelers went out and got two guys, shout out, Mark, two guys this offseason that can be here long-term because Witherspoon's 26, Joe Schobert's 27. Those are two pieces to the puzzle that you just traded a fifth and a sixth round draft pick for to say, hey, you guys could easily be starters this season, maybe next season, and moving forward. I think it's perfect for now and for later, and kind of does solidify Cam in the inside role and said, hey, well, even if James Pierre goes down, you don't got to worry about it. We got a backup for you.
Right, and I want to go back to Jose's comments and whenever he talked about the Seahawks being one of the best in the league at scouting quarterbacks. On the opposite end of the spectrum, a team who just can't figure out any cornerback position in the entire NFL draft, no matter what day it is, 1, 2, or 3,
true,
are the Pittsburgh Steelers. So clearly they saw some of the film that they liked from Witherspoon and they said, hey, fifth round draft pick, probably a better guy than we can go out and find ourselves. He's got experience. We have tape on him. We know what he's capable of. Bring him here.
Exactly. I think that that's where it comes down to. The Steelers, like you just said, they're not the greatest at scouting defensive backs. So just throw a line out there, throw another line out there. It worked with Steven Nelson for a season. Maybe it'll work with this guy. It might work with James Pierre. It worked with Mike Hilton. That's all they're looking for. And you know, you could say like they have guys on the practice squad that, you know, are very hit or miss with Donovan Sutter and Mike Gilbert, maybe. I don't think either of those guys even touch an active roster this season. But right now they have good depth. And to be honest, if we're going to be honest, I think the most surprising thing out of this whole thing has been that Henry Mondu was let go and not Justin Lane, which means they're going to go into the season with six cornerbacks. That's a little crazy to me. But Justin Lane does play decent special teams, and they do like that. So it is what it is. It's a good move. Do you think it's a good move all around?
Yeah, I have no issues with it. I mean, I didn't wake up and see the move and kind of start punching Gary immediately for, you know, given what the Steelers gave up and the kind of player that they're getting back. I mean, like I already pointed out, if he pans out, he doesn't, you know, sorry. If he pans out, he pans out. If he doesn't pan out, he doesn't pan out. There's no pressure for this guy to come and perform. And there's also no pressure for him to come and be a special teamer. He is what he is. You know, he's 26. He's still playing in the NFL. He just got traded off the Seahawks, only playing in preseason games. He is what he is. You know, there's no expectations for him to come in and be a second Joe Hayden. No expectations for him to relive Steven Nelson's 2019 season. If he balls out, he balls out. He takes over James Pierre's spot. If he doesn't, James Pierre is still that cornerback too, and he's kind of that nice little safety blanket. Outside of James Pierre, it looks like he's the best cornerback on the roster right now. So giving up a fifth-round pick to kind of add that little extra blanket of security, no problems with it.
Yep, no doubt. 33 starts as a four-year guy. That's pretty good for a backup. Can't complain about it. This is another move that we did not talk about. We should talk about. The Steelers added. There we go. Internet, man. Tweaks out sometimes. The Steelers added Carl Joseph to their practice squad. He's expected to be elevated to the active roster by week one. It's a good move for safety depth. I didn't really think they needed safety depth, but a lot of people are real excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Really excited to bring you guys another season of anti-Trell Edmonds work. And the Carl Joseph signing plays right into my cards. So I'm starting the bandwagon. I'll tweet out all the info to see if we can pick anybody up on the way to Pittsburgh to get Trell Edmonds out of Pittsburgh. But Carl Joseph getting him on the practice squad, I mean, phenomenal move. We just got done talking, bro. It's Friday. Words are hard. Certified lover boys out. I can't think straight right now. All my emotions are in a trance. We just talked about a guy who is very low risk for what the Steelers got him for. Carl Joseph on the practice squad is a phenomenal get. I mean, we're talking about a guy who we've seen make plays at the NFL level time and time again, and unfortunately finds himself at the practice squad level as it is right now. But for the meantime, I mean, he's probably one of the best practice squad players in the league at the moment, right?
Oh, he's got to be pretty close. I mean, he's a guy that he started 8 games for the Browns last season. He played pretty well. I mean, everywhere he's gone, he's had a starting role, and he's played decent in that starting role. I don't know where the fall off came from. I don't know. Maybe he is just a liability, or he's just like Spoon, and he's just inconsistent. He's real hit or miss. I don't really know. I haven't watched Carl Joseph outside of Cleveland and, you know, see him there and here and there. He is a guy, though, that does add quality depth, because who are you going to put on the field behind Terrell Edmonds and Minkah Fitzpatrick? Trey Norwood, who's a seventh-round pick, that's a very big liability, at least week one. Who else are you going to put? Miles Killebrew, who wasn't even allowed to play defense in Detroit? Let's not let him play defense in Pittsburgh. That sounds like a pretty good move. Carl Joseph is definitely a guy that could come in here and compete. I do not think that you're going to get to celebrate Terrell Edmonds leaving Pittsburgh because of Carl Joseph.
Not yet. Not yet.
He's a good move, though. He is a good move, and he fills a gap. I like that move way better than everybody who was saying, Sean Davis, go get Sean Davis and pound that drum.
God, dude.
Thank you. I didn't understand. Sean Davis played 47 snaps on defense last season, or 57 snaps, excuse me. And I would trust Trey Norwood, Miles Killebrew, my grandmother, a lot of people to play 47 snaps or 57 snaps on defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers at safety before I put Sean Davis back out there and wasted another contract.
They already tried it once and it didn't pan out. They already brought him twice. Yeah.
Twice. They tried him twice. They've tried him twice. He didn't work either time.
And people are like, look, like he knows the defense. He's familiar with the organization. But I don't know if he knows how to get the Heinz Field driving backwards at night. I just don't let him near the team.
Would you know how to get the Heinz Field driving backwards at night?
Batman might. I don't know, bro. But look, the same argument that people use for the backup like quarterback thing, and it's like, oh, well, you know, if he was any good, he would be X, Y, and Z. It goes for the same thing as Sean Davis. If Sean Davis was a legitimately good safety, he would still be with the Steelers on a second contract.
Or Indianapolis, or Detroit, or literally or anywhere Washington. That he tried. But he's not it. It's Carl Joseph, I like it. I like the fresh start. I like the starting experience. He's not a nobody. You bring him in there. Worst case scenario, you got to run with Trey Norwood a little longer than you expected to, or maybe a little earlier than you expected to. Best case scenario, you get your wish. Terrell Edmonds is gone. Carl Joseph is long-term starting safety of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And everyone's real happy because people love Carl Joseph for some reason. He's a West Virginia boy. I get it. It's a local thing. But it's a good move for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And maybe Spoon turns into a good move for the Pittsburgh Steelers too. We'll see. We'll also see, hopefully, this weekend, everyone out there, pray. Send some vibes. Talk to the universe. Whatever you got to do. TJ Watt gets signed in the next 72 hours. From what everybody's hearing, from what I'm hearing, from what Donnie's hearing, it should be this weekend. So get ready, get prepared, get excited. And make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Make sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook at All Steelers. And as always, subscribe to your favorite podcast host at Noah Strack, at Donnie Droon. This is All Steelers Talk. Thank you guys so much for jumping on, and we will see you.
This isn't just any day, it's the day. The day you welcome new people to your team or welcome an idea that changes everything. Wherever your day takes you, Comcast Business can help. With a network that can deliver gig speeds to most businesses, Comcast Business Security Edge to help protect your connected devices, and expert support 24/7. Every day in business is a big day. Comcast Business will keep you ready for what's next. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Worried about mom or dad falling? The Symphony Medical Alert System from CVS Health helps make their home safer, even if you can't be there. Symphony works with voice activation or a care button they can opt to wear, along with smart sensors for coverage around the home. With 24/7 emergency response and an app to tie it all together, you can monitor your loved one's well-being for enhanced peace of mind. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more about Symphony at cvs.com/symphony or find it at your nearest CVS Health Hub.